Larry Kleinman, welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
Larry Kleinman knows immigration in this country. His roots are in the grassroots struggle in Woodburn with PICUN, the Oregon Farm Workers Union, that he co-founded midway through the last century. Now he spends half his time in Woodburn and half in Washington, D.C. Larry, briefly give us your very honorable and fascinating biography.
Well, I'm happy to be here again on the Old Mole, and I've been doing this work for 40 years. I am a co-founder of PICUN. But a little over 3 years ago, went through a leadership transition of generational shift, and I stepped down as Secretary Treasurer. My successor is Jaime Arredondo, young man whose family have been PICUN members his whole life. And I transitioned to a role, a national role, as an advisor and capacity builder to immigrant rights organizations across the country in a network that PICUN is a member of and helped form.
Yeah, and you also work in Washington, D.C., including meetings with growers, with agriculture interests, all the interests who are employing immigrant workers. The great struggle in Washington, D.C. is, and the national struggle and the local struggle, you're involved in both now.
My role in it is not as direct a role as it used to be, perhaps. But
in Woodburn.
Second-ranking leader of PICUN, but I am at tables and in conversations that give me some insight into, you know, what's going on these different levels.
Right, and you spent a lot of time in the fields.
That's true.
In Oregon.
And the legislature and organizing allies and so on.
So things have changed now, although it's episodic. It happens every 10 or 20 years.
That's true.
But immigrant communities now are really under attack. Tell us what's happening in immigrant communities all over this country. Worse in some states than others, though.
Absolutely. No, I think that's right. And we all see it and read about it, feel it. Huge spike in fear. Completely understandable that happened with the shock of the election of Donald Trump. The force of all of his propaganda that created this atmosphere of fear and his reversing of Obama-era policies that unleashed ICE.
As bad as ICE was in the Obama era, it's now even worse. Obama backtracked some.
Obama tried to corral ICE in some way, not to eliminate it. I mean, like what I tell people is ICE was arresting people every weekday of every week of the 8 years of the Obama presidency. The difference that happened with the arrival of the Trump administration is that the tactics that ICE uses were restored to the Bush era tactics. But against the backdrop of the threat of mass deportations, which greatly elevated the threat level, even if the activity level wasn't elevated to the same extent.
And now you've got both threats of mass deportation and increased activity.
That's right, increased activity and activity that feels more random, so that everybody is a target. Even if, in fact, on a practical level, on any given day, most people are not actually a target. So coming to terms, and this is what I think is starting to settle out a little bit in immigrant communities that I'm either in or know about, that now this kind of what is exactly the level of threat, how present is it, how frequent, who is being targeted, is starting to emerge a little more clearly. At first, it was sort of everybody's a target any day of the week.
And terror gripped people. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the stories of families that were separated, people taking their kids to school and then being arrested and so on, you know, unbelievable trauma that inflicts. One of the things that is happening in those communities is with the leadership of immigrant rights organizations and others that serve immigrants, people started to try to prepare. What does it mean that we might go to work today and not come home? Which has been a reality on some level for many years. But I think in many places, because of some of the policies of the Obama administration and some local policies about enforcement of law had been reduced. But now it's back up again, or at least the threat of it, and that's what's changed the atmosphere.
Yeah, the great threat and the terror that almost seemed homicidal was the use of the Clinton-era set of laws. Clinton signed it, in fact. Right. Tell us about that.
This is a law passed during when Newt was leading Congress, an anti-immigrant law.
Newt Gingrich.
Yeah,
and the Republican right-winger.
The previous Republican insurgent. In any event, one of the key provisions that law created was called expedited removal. They changed, first of all, the deportation and started calling it removal. Same thing. But they made it expedited removal, and that allowed the government to conduct what's called in absentia hearings, meaning hearings you are not present at, where you are ordered deported, right? And there are now, to make a long story short, there are a million immigrants, a million out of the 11 million, who are subject to expedited removal, meaning they have previous orders of removal that can be reinstated or enforced with virtually no due process. And that's exactly who ICE is going after now. Why? Because they have to afford them the least amount of legal protection, and legal representation, lawyers and others, can do the least for them.
And they just grab them and put them in detention then, and then make life so miserable in detention that a lot of people decide, I've had it, I can't stand it anymore.
Well, that's the folks that have some possible due process right, that have that sit in detention a long time. The expedited removal folks are arrested as soon as they have what's called a travel document, unless you're a Mexican citizen, in which case they just take you out. I mean, you're gone in the matter of a day.
So this is terrifying, just having somebody grabbed and taken. And they claim, of course, always that there was a crime committed by these people. And the crime, of course, has expanded, the kind of crime that gets you instantly deported.
And in many cases, and there's no separate crime. There's no other activity of during your
just
time.
Just crossing the border.
It was you have a previous order of removal and you came back. Never mind how long ago it was. That was the thing that changed in 20 years ago, is that they could reinstate that previous order and remove you based on that.
And you have no due process rights at all. You're not going to have a lawyer, and you're not going to have a lawyer.
You can have a lawyer, but your lawyer can't do much for you in that case.
If you get a lawyer, but very few actually even get a lawyer.
That's also true.
Understand.
Right.
So people are terrified, but the terror has now given way to planning for the worst. Even though Homeland Security has grown so immensely, and ICE and the organizations, now the Homeland Security has more, in fact, cops and enforcers than all the other federal law enforcement agencies put together.
Yes.
They are an enormous agency now, but they're sort of hamstrung by, in all sorts of ways, they really have trouble operating. And much of their stuff is still symbolic, right? And people are now beginning to adjust to the worst and trying to lead their lives.
I think their activity is, in fact, objectively much worse this year in the advent of Trump than it was last year. The gap that I think you're describing, though, which I think is right, is the gap between what they're actually able to do and the mega threat of mass deportations that Trump popularized. The combination of those two things in the early days of the Trump administration sent the fear through the roof. It's become apparent, though, in 5 months, exactly what you also said, which is they really don't have the capacity to remove hundreds of thousands of people in a short amount of time. They actually don't have that capacity today, right? For various reasons. They are increasing the number of people they're removing from the interior. They're changing who those people are to some degree, and the number of folks coming in the country is way down. It's dropped off precipitously shortly after the inauguration of Trump.
Oh, yes. And even then it was much lower.
It was already declining. It was already net negative immigration from Mexico.
Is it true that more people are now leaving?
That's been true for a while. That's not a new thing, but it's accelerated. It's accelerated for two reasons. Number one, there are fewer people coming in, way fewer, right? Secondly, there are more people leaving, and this is the agenda. We remember Mitt Romney embraced self-deportation.
They're terrifying people and driving them out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are a segment of the 11 million who are not doing very well economically, maybe personally, who have something they feel they can go back to. They can't take the stress of the possibility of arrest, and so they decide to pack their bags and leave. I believe, I have no data on this, but I believe it's some hundreds of thousands across the country, but it's only hundreds of thousands. It's not millions of people that are going to do that because other people are doing a little better. Other people have nothing to go back to, or worse, it's a matter of life or death in the area they left. And the threat day to day in wherever they happen to live does not feel excruciating that they have to make that decision tomorrow. They may have to make a plan, as you said, but they're not actually making the decision to execute it.
This is KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick for The Old Mole. I'm talking to Larry Kleinman, long-term co-founder of PICUN, the Farm Workers Union, headquartered in Woodburn with influence all over the state, particularly, of course, in agricultural areas, organizing people. Larry, now is pass the baton to younger Pecun people, and is now working in Washington, all over the country actually, helping immigrant rights organizations organize and find their voice and operate strategically. Larry, it seems to me all of these organizations and so many movements and some states who are, in fact, recognize the importance of immigrants as well as the humanity of immigrants as well as the economic benefit of immigrants. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing is these states like Arizona, they're in deep trouble because they've driven out so many people. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. Tell us about these countervailing forces in the immigration struggle.
And that this is not a new phenomenon. Again, in fact, everything we're talking about here, there are some new iterations of it, I guess you could say. But this is an age-old story about the ebbs and flows, both in terms of the role of immigrants, the response to immigrants. That's a bigger conversation for another time. But the sort of state dynamic we saw bust into view more, you know, time back.
Let's remind people of the previous immigration scares. Just remind them of their history, like the Chinese Exclusion Acts and then the way that Chinese workers were needed to build the railroads so they...
Sure. The Irish, when they arrived, were considered non-white. The German Jews didn't like the Eastern European Jews. The Italians were considered dangerous and needed to be removed.
And exploited.
Absolutely. And with the Chinese and with Latin American immigrants, with African immigrants, the issue of race is, of course, engaged. And again, as I said, with the Irish, if it wasn't engaged, it was invented. So many of these mega dynamics are not new.
And there were nativist movements as
Absolutely.
Well, often led by big economic forces in their community that let leash this anger at immigrants in order to first to separate them in their factories and operations and fields, but also to redirect the anger of a lot of the older working classes who were here, right. mostly white, against the immigrants rather than fighting the people who were maximizing their wealth at the expense of labor.
And these things did not fit together seamlessly. There have been the America First movement, as they called themselves in the 30s, took actions in a white supremacist agenda that we see again today emerging dominant that actually did not suit the interests of the owning class. We see that again today where the white supremacist reaction that's being fomented and agitated is actually inconvenient to many of the immigrant labor-dependent economic sectors, and it creates friction in the economy as well as friction in the body politic.
There's so much going on also that counters the Trump agenda and also the corporate agenda. Mm-hmm. Movements, especially in some states. Why don't you go over just sort of the panorama of struggle towards immigrant rights and integration, as well as a very different economy is absolutely necessary in the U.S. and the immigrants' rights movement.
So the state-level focus is not a new thing. It's gotten to a new level, though. So we saw in Arizona SB 1070 in 2010, the knockoff of that in Alabama, HB 56, the following year, and state-level anti-immigrant laws. But we also remember Bill saw that in California with Proposition 187 in 1994. So again, this is an old story.
That killed the Republicans later.
It killed them later. That's right. And Democrats remind Republicans today that want to play that card, you know, especially in a place like Texas, right? Uh-huh. But that's where ground zero is today as we speak. It's SB 4, a bill just signed by the Governor Abbott, one of the most anti-immigrant, you know, pro-Trump politicians. Basically, what SB 4 says is it forces local law enforcement to cooperate with immigration and creates probably the most draconian penalties ever imagined if those local police do not do so. Local police departments that refuse to cooperate in the way described by the law, those local officials would be fined, they would be removed from office, and could be charged with a felony and jailed. The only thing that is not allowed is to execute them. And so there's a huge reaction in Texas. Texas is now ground zero for the anti-immigrant fight on the state level. Very quickly, and the complete opposite of that is California, which has gone the complete opposite direction and is actually creating more protections more quickly, expanding on a base of protections they'd already created.
Providing driver's licenses to undocumented workers.
Creating in law
access
limitations.
To public schools.
That's right.
Yeah.
And scholarships, access to professional licenses.
You can become a lawyer in California without being a citizen then.
Without even having legal status.
Yes.
That's right. So we're seeing an incredible divergence on the state level. I think the hope, at least in Texas, is with the backing of the nation, immigrant, pro-immigrant forces around the country, that Texas will be the next Arizona. So the kinds of boycotts and pressures and political organizing in Arizona, which is still ongoing, by the way, that ended up removing Joe Arpaio, that I think is making Arizona a more competitive state on a partisan level. The hope is that this will be one of the forces that actually is a catalyst in Texas to take it in a similar direction. But one of the things that has to be overcome is the effects of gerrymandering, which are very deep in Texas and entrench the Republicans. But they are overplaying their hand politically, I believe. And so I believe we'll see that acceleration. It's not clear how long it'll take.
There's a grassroots side of the two. That was sort of the macro political side in terms of the politics of Washington, D.C. and the state capitals. There's a grassroots side as well. Even in Texas, the reason that they have such draconian penalties on law enforcement for not enforcing is because there's a lot of sanctuary cities, even in Texas,
absolutely,
like Houston.
Right. Houston, and Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso.
Really? I didn't realize it was that big. And in California, of course, it's another story. They, as a state, and in Oregon, although Oregon, of course, is way behind California in so many ways, actually.
No, I think you're absolutely right. There are very strong pro-immigrant forces in Texas. They are in the cities. All those cities have Democratic mayors, but they are becoming more aggressive. They have a united cause, and they have the support of now folks across the country. So, for example, the American Immigration Lawyer Association, ALA, the largest association of immigration lawyers, just announced days after SB 4 was signed in Texas, announced that they are moving their convention in 2018, which was going to be in Texas, somewhere else. And that happened in Arizona. Those kinds of things happened in Arizona after SB 1070 in 2010, and they lost tens of millions of dollars of business. National sports event?
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think we'll see that national sports events may disinvest or divest, for whether it's NCAA, whether it's all-star games in the professional leagues. Once again, we're going to see this pressure emerge. And because it's Texas, which is way bigger as an economy, as a state, as a demographic, where no ethnic group is a majority in Texas today, right? Latinos are headed to being the plurality in Texas in not very many years. So Texas is going to be ground zero for the anti-immigrant fight.
Well, this is all, the struggle is really interesting. We're going to keep going with it. This is the end of this interview. Larry, thanks a lot. But I think next time we can talk about these forces that are in motion much more deeply, particularly corporate America.
Right.
And also the anti-immigrant economic forces, like the people who create these private prisons. They spend a vast amount of money buying politicians.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me there's a huge struggle going on. We'll talk about all of that.
I think the two big areas where this, for me, this conversation leads, one is what's happening inside the employer side and inside the Republican Party. Secondly, what is the response? The immigrant organizing rights community rightly had to first engage in first response. But I think the first response period, or at least the initial phase of it, is sort of winding down now. And now it's like, what's the longer term strategy against a force as entrenched as Trump, or the forces he's unleashed, and as unpredictable as that? And the question of white supremacy, what does that all mean in Oregon? Those were other themes to then pick up on.
Yeah, and that's against the background of economic transition in lots of ways where immigrant workers are absolutely essential. This is an aging population in Europe, too. They need the people who they're driving out.
But Larry, to be continued, wonderful to be here with you, Bill. And I look forward to another opportunity here soon to dig into these issues that we've left ourselves wanting more about.
Thank you very much, Larry Kleinman.
I got one job, two job, three when I need them. I got five roommates in this one studio, but I never really see them. And we all came America trying to get a lap dance from Lady Freedom. But now Lady Liberty is acting like Hillary Banks with a prenup.
Banks with a prenup.
Man, I was brave, sailing on graves. Don't think I didn't notice those tombstones disguised as waves. I'm no dummy, here's something funny. You could be an immigrant without risking your lives, or crossing these borders with thrifty supplies. All you gotta do is see the world with new eyes.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Look how far I come. Look how far I come.
immigrants, we get the job done.
It's a hard line when you're an import, baby boy, it's hard times. When you ain't sent for races, feed the belly of the beast with they pitchforks. Rich chores done by the people that get ignored. Ya se armó, ya se despertaron, it's a whole awakening. La alarma ya sonó hace rato, los que quieren buscan, pero nos apodan como vagos. We're the same ones hustling on every level, ten los datos. Walk a mile in our shoes, abróchense los zapatos. I've been scoping y'all dudes, y'all ain't been working like I do. Why y'all work ya? It hurt ya. You claim I'm stealing jobs, though. Peter Piper claimed he picked them, he just underpaid Pablo. But there ain't a paper trail when you living in the shadows. We America's ghostwriters, the credit's only borrowed. It's a matter of time before the checks all come. But
immigrants, we get the job done.
Look how far I come.